Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 86 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
If the legislature wants to move that kind of legislation, they're going to have to do it over my veto.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin says pensions are on the cusp of insolvency.
Six people have been indicted by a Rowan County grand jury.
Rowan County schools are preparing for the school year to begin next week.
In sports, Moorhead State University's football team started preseason camp today.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Tonight we'll see partly cloudy skies with a low of 64. Stay tuned for your extended forecast after the news.
Officials have inspected the home of Kentucky's governor as part of an appeal of the property's value. Matt Bevin purchased the home and 10 acres from a friend and campaign donor for $1.6 million in March. The Jefferson County Property Valuation Administrator says the home plus 19 acres is worth $2.9 million. Bevin has appealed that. Last month, a Board of Assessment Appeals held a hearing but delayed a decision until after they could inspect the property. That inspection happened this afternoon. The board chairman didn't allow reporters to attend, ruling it was not a meeting as defined by the state's Open Meeting Act. Jeremy Rogers is an attorney representing the Courier-Journal. He said the inspection was a meeting and should be open to the public.
Kentucky's governor says he won't sign off on a tax increase to help the state's troubled pension systems. Matt Bevin describes Kentucky's pensions as being on the cusp of insolvency, but he says tax reform is a separate issue.
And I in no way, shape, or form have ever said, have ever implied, nor do I intend to balance the shortcomings of the pension system on the back of Kentucky's taxpayer.
The governor says he'll veto any action from the state legislature to pay pension debts by raising taxes. Bevin says pension funding will be addressed in a special legislative session this fall. The date for that session has not been announced.
A Northern Kentucky senator is calling for pension and tax reform to be dealt with separately. Republican Senator Chris McDaniel told Spectrum News Pure Politics that Governor Matt Bevin plans to call a special session this fall to tackle those issues. McDaniel says most people in the Commonwealth do not see a need for tax reform that is non-revenue neutral.
My hope is that we will address taxes sometime after his budget so the people of the Commonwealth really know, okay, this is where our expenses are, this is where our revenues are, and now we need to deal with comprehensive tax reform.
McDaniel feels the best time to address both tax and pension reform would be in a special session in 2018.
Another Democrat has stepped up to challenge Kentucky Congressman Andy Barr for his 6th district seat. Amy McGrath made the announcement today in a video highlighting her military service.
When I was 12 years old, I knew exactly what I wanted to do when I grew up. I wanted to fly fighter jets.
McGrath is a former Marine Corps fighter pilot who flew more than 89 combat missions, bombing Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. She's also running against Democratic State Senator Reggie Thomas, along with perennial candidate Jeff Young. Barr, a Republican, is in his third term in Congress.
Officials are unable to determine the cause of a home fire that happened on Christie Creek last weekend. The 90-year-old house was unoccupied at the time of the blaze, and no injuries were reported. Elliottville Fire Department Chief Jackie Thomas says multiple remodeling projects on the home made the fire impossible to stop.
It had like three different sidings on it, and where the interior had been remodeled, it had a couple walls inside of it. So it was almost impossible to get in between those. The fire got in between where they had been remodeled, and we just could not extinguish it out. It was over 1,000 degrees.
Thomas says because the house was fully engulfed when fire crews arrived, nothing could have been salvaged. The homeowner was staying elsewhere at the time of the fire, and arson is not expected.
Six individuals were indicted on multiple charges by a Rowan County grand jury on July 21st. MSPR's Tilden Johnson has more.
The Morehead News reports that 36-year-old Mark Bailey was charged with his fourth offense of driving under the influence, possession of a controlled substance, and drug paraphernalia, among other traffic offenses. 48-year-old Barbara R. Holder for theft by unlawful taking, possession of a controlled substance and drug paraphernalia, and criminal trespassing. 35-year-old Richard D. Johnson was indicted for identity theft and operating a vehicle under a suspended license. 25-year-old Austin B. Alford was indicted for burglary and criminal mischief. 24-year-old Dylan Douglas was also indicted for burglary. And 40-year-old Angela D. Kennard for theft by unlawful taking. For MSPR, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Two men are in custody after police say they dug up a grave in Martin County. According to WYMT, 33-year-old James Howard and 26-year-old T.J. Luster face charges of violating a grave. Martin County Sheriff John Kirk says Emily Howard, James Howard's grandmother, was buried at Stacy's Cemetery in 2002.
When we got here, they had definitely dug the grave up until the top of the vault and everything was exposed.
The grave was found unearthed over the weekend by a family member who was fishing in the area. Deputies began their investigation on Sunday.
The two remaining escapees from the Boyd County Detention Center both have a history of violence. 26-year-old Timothy Bates and 28-year-old Robert Raines, along with two other inmates who have now been recaptured, fled from imprisonment Sunday morning. Bates was accused of striking a store employee with a chair in 2015. He also faced charges of robbery at a separate store. Raines had previously served time after he choked a woman in 2013. Officials believe the men escaped by climbing through a bathroom ceiling. Jailer Joe Burchett says the four exploited a design flaw from a construction project in 2006.
Well, I figured it's secure. I didn't think there's any way they'd crawl and get down the ceiling. But apparently the box didn't go up far enough, and they climbed over out the door they went.
Burchett notes Bates and Raines were serving time for nonviolent drug-related charges at the time of their escape. Anyone with information related to the pair's whereabouts is asked to contact the Boyd County Detention Center.
Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevin says expanding the trail system around the county will be a huge plus. Not only will it improve the quality of life for the area's residents, but Blevins believes it will also provide the county with another important tourist attraction.
It's a very strong tool. I think just Morehead being a trail town has been a strong tool. And I think when we have a good path, a bicycle path, walking path for people all the way down to Cave Run Lake, or at least as close as we can get it to Cave Run, I think it's really a selling point. I think people, they'll come from miles around to travel along a creek and along a nice scenic area to take in the beauty of the area and plus get the exercise as well.
Rowan County plans to apply this fall for a state transportation alternatives grant of between $500,000 and $1 million to help it construct more hiking and biking trails. A local Rails to Trails group will also apply for a TAP grant to build a trail that would run along Triplet Creek between Morehead's Green Hill City Park and Kentucky 519.
Kentucky's Ag Tag donations have reached an all-time high, MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to Kentucky Today, the voluntary donations rose by 14% for the fiscal year that ended June 30th, totaling nearly $630,000. This set the record for the program's largest amount since it began. Kentucky drivers who are buying or renewing a farm vehicle can make donations of up to $10 to the AgTag program. The proceeds are distributed equally between the Kentucky 4-H and Kentucky FFA programs and the Kentucky Department of Agriculture. Donations in the 2017 fiscal year have increased since the 2016 fiscal year by over $77,000. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
With classes slated to begin in the district a week from this Thursday, those at Rowan County Senior High School have already started preparing. Principal Ray Genter says all of the school's 900 or so students and their parents this week are attending class-by-class orientation sessions. Genter believes that's a beneficial experience for them.
It is, and it's usually the biggest crowd. You know, we have it in the PAC, and it's moderately full for everybody except freshmen. And we usually have an overflow. There are so many people that need and want to come to that.
Rowan Senior High's seniors went through their orientation on Monday with the juniors scheduled for tonight. Sophomores will go Wednesday evening with the school's freshmen slated for Thursday. Ginter also says for the first time ever, all 3,300 students in the Rowan district will be allowed this year to attend the high school's athletic events for free.
Safe Harbor is hosting its 10th annual Lobster Fest, August 12th at the Belfont Country Club in Ashland. Safe Harbor is a domestic violence program that serves the Fiveco area. Lobster Fest is a benefit dinner that consists of Maine lobster or filet mignon, sushi, cheese, fruit, and a collection of desserts. Safe Harbor Executive Director Ann Perkins says all proceeds from the event are going to building renovations for the Safe Harbor facility.
We're located in the old TB hospital complex. This money has helped us renovate and upkeep on all those buildings. We have approximately 150 women and children a day that this money benefits.
The event is being held August 12th at 6:30 p.m. and is open to the public. To register for the event, call Safe Harbor at 606-329-9304.
The Morehead State University Police Department has lost one of its leaders. Captain Mike Trent has retired after over two decades in law enforcement, including the last 14 years at MSU. Chief Merrill Harrison says Trent was a great asset to the university, adding he appreciates how he helped him when he took over the 26-member force a couple of years ago.
He was really big for me to lean on when I came in because I had a lot to learn here, not working on a campus before. Mike's just a really hard worker, really knowledgeable. His institutional knowledge here at the university is just so vast. I had to lean on him so much about just the inner workings of the university and everything. And it's endless, everything that he did here at the university.
After starting with the MSU Police Department, Trent worked his way up from sergeant to lieutenant, and finally to captain and assistant chief. In replacing Trent, Harrison plans to promote one of his current officers. However, there is no timeline for doing that at this point.
The Wolf County Fiscal Court will receive $14,000 in emergency road aid from the State Department of Transportation. The money will be used for slip repairs just southeast of Kentucky 2028 on Big Bloody Creek Road. KDOT spokesman H.B. Elkins says the damage could have many different causes.
Sometimes it's due to one big storm with a lot of flooding. I don't know the specific dates that these roads incurred that damage, or if it's just where the embankment kind of fails, slips over time, and it gets to a point where it has to be repaired.
The fiscal court will complete the repairs and then be reimbursed by the Department of Transportation.
Crews from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet on Wednesday will continue repairs on a section of State Route 1496 in Carter County. Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says they'll be using rock to backfill an area on the roadside of 1496. He expects the effort to take several days.
It shouldn't be until about midweek next week. So during the daytime, at that site, which is at the 4-mile marker between McDavid Cemetery Road and Silvermine Road, we'll have to keep that closed while we have some equipment in there that's taking up quite a lot of the roadway.
Blair says that part of Kentucky 1496 will be shut down from 7:30 a.m. through 3 p.m. each weekday. However, he adds school bus traffic will not be affected. Other drivers should be prepared to take alternate routes.
Dozens of Martin County residents gathered last week to voice their concerns over unclean tap water. Around 50 people attended the public meeting last Thursday. Mary Cromer is an attorney with the Appalachian Citizens Law Center. She spoke with EKB-TV.
People were saying the water is so often so chemically that it burns, it has so many chemicals in it that it burns their skin when they shower, and they get rashes, they have to use lots of lotion. So lots of problems with the water quality. And then we had a lot of people talking about problems with the management of the water district.
Several people say poor water pressure and the smell of rotting fish have led them to rely on bottled water. A public forum dedicated to the issue is scheduled for August 29th.
School will soon be back in session across Kentucky, but steady temperatures in the 80s means the state's summer is far from over, and the risk of skin damage from sun exposure is still around. Dermatologist Katie Owsley says too much sun exposure can lead to long-term damage and even skin cancers like melanoma. So it's important for people of every age to avoid sunburns.
I never like for people to say things like, well, I've already done the damage. Why don't I just go out in the sun now? It's not going to make a difference. That's not true at all. It exponentially gets worse the more you do it. So even if you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, still be really careful in the sun and try not to get sunburned.
Owsley says to avoid sunburns, you should wear a layer of lightweight and cotton clothes, stay in the shade, or make sure sunscreen is close at hand. When it comes to sunscreen, Owsley recommends SPF 30 or higher and says it's best to reapply every 2 hours.
Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows around 64 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-80s. Tomorrow night, a slight chance of rain with lows in the mid-60s. On Thursday, more of the same, partly cloudy, highs around 87. That night, it'll be clear, lows around 68. On Friday, a 100% chance of thunderstorms, highs around 80 degrees. That night, a 20% chance of rain, lows around 57. And at the start of our weekend on Saturday, it'll be sunny again, with highs in the mid-70s. It's currently 84 degrees in Ashland, 83 in Flemingsburg, 84 in Inez and Winchester. It's 85 degrees in Lexington and 85 degrees also here on the campus of Morehead State University. The time is 4:47. You are listening to Mountain Edition on MSPR. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Leanne Akers, and we're glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, the annual county fair kicks off Monday at the Carter County Fairgrounds. Leanne has the story.
The Carter County Fair Board is ready for next week's events, which will take place just west of Grayson. The fair pageant takes place on Sunday, and livestock shows begin Monday at the fairgrounds on US 60. Board member Jill York says the fair can always use more volunteers.
You just have to have the strength of heart to want to get involved in your community. And if you can take tickets, or if you want to drive a tractor or a bulldozer and help us out on the grounds, or, you know, be involved with the pageant, just about any event that's happening, if it's something that you're fond of, there's probably room for you to step in and help out.
York says the board holds on to the traditional county fair idea.
The fair board is made up of volunteers from the community and all ages. We have very young folks that are still in college all the way up to folks that are retired, but love the idea of keeping the true traditional agrarian 4-H livestock with great outdoor entertainment sort of fair event happening in the community.
The grounds have been cleaned up after flash floodwaters swept away the Rudy Fest Bluegrass Festival in June. York says, as with any outdoor event, keeping an eye on the forecast is important.
That was the remnants of a hurricane. We don't expect that sort of weather to happen to us every day. So, you know, we'll be watching the skies, watching the weather reports, but we're looking forward to a good, dry, beautiful fair event.
The annual Miss Carter County Fair pageant will be on Sunday night at Pritchard Elementary in Grayson. Events at the fairgrounds will begin Monday morning. York says the cost of admission is different throughout the week.
We're starting out with a real reasonable thing on Monday night. It's only $2 to get onto the grounds to see the livestock events that are going on. On Tuesday night, it's a $5 admission, but we're going to give discounts for folks in the military and senior citizens. They'll get in for $2. Then on Wednesday night, it begins to be the best bang for your buck. That begins to be a $10 admission to the grounds. But for that, you get to ride all the rides and take part in all of the activities.
For a full schedule or more information on the Carter County Fair, visit www.cartercountyfair.org. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Leanne Akers. It's 4:50 on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. Braxton Howard has sports right now.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Morehead State football team is now on campus to start its preseason camp. Head coach Rob Tenure says the Eagles will have to adjust to the new NCAA rule that only allows one practice per day.
You want to format your practices where you can practice and still watch film, make corrections, and do everything in the same day, and then move on to the next day and start over. So I think it'll be really a really good schedule for us. I think it'll give our guys a little more rest in the evenings and make them a little more fresher as they start the next day.
The MSU football team's 2017 schedule begins on August the 31st at home against Kentucky Christian. Even though the Wildcats will have a new defensive coordinator, Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops says there won't be many changes made to that group this season. Stoops says they'll look much the same under the direction of Matt House, adding that he and House didn't have to patch a lot of holes or fix many things with that unit in the offseason.
It was nice to hit the reset button on that. And with myself and with Matt and the defensive staff kind of retweaked that, even from a terminology standpoint, and trying to simplify things to the players and build it in what we want it to look like now.
House is entering his second season at UK. He spent last year as the Cats linebackers coach. It's day two of preseason work for the Louisville football team. Coach Bobby Petrino says the Cardinals had a good first day, showing that they learned a lot during spring drills and worked hard over the summer to prepare for camp.
I like the depth on the team. I think we got a chance to be pretty good. We just got to come out each day and get better.
Louisville will be looking to build on last year's 9-4 record, which includes a 29-9 loss to LSU in the Citrus Bowl. At this point of preseason practices, Round County football coach Kelly Ford likes where things are with his team. While still adjusting the Vikings' offense, Ford says things are in excellent shape for them on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
We've got the whole system in. I mean, it's the system that I've always ran. So we're good to go on our defensive side. But we'll throw some different stunts and stuff in. But we've been real basic in what we're doing because we want to play fast, not let think a lot, and keep it simple for them.
The Vikings scrimmage Nicholas County a week from Friday at the EKC Gridorama. They open up the regular season on August the 18th at Morgan County. After getting yesterday off, the Cincinnati Reds are in Pittsburgh tonight to start a series with the Pirates. The Reds are just 3-14 since the All-Star break, and manager Brian Price has a strong message to the Reds' young players.
We don't play to feel good about giving opportunities to young players. We play the game to win. We play the game to get better and improve and compete for championships. And right now, we're not doing that. However, we've had a run here of a couple of years where we've given a great deal of opportunity to younger players. And some have really seized it, and others have just continued to be question marks on if they're the type of player or pitcher that can compete for a championship club.
2-5 Homer Bailey will take the mound for the Reds this evening. 6-4 Jamison Taillon will go for the Pirates. Former Reds great Pete Rose has been accused of statutory rape in a case that dates back to the 1970s. The woman says she was 14 or 15 years old at the time. Rose admits to having a sexual relationship with her, but says she was 16, the legal age of consent in the state of Ohio. Her sworn testimony was submitted yesterday as part of a federal lawsuit that Rose filed against attorney John Dowd, who investigated Rose's gambling activities, which got him kicked out of baseball. With Isaac Humphries recently signing a contract to play professionally in his home country of Australia, 5 of the 8 players who left the Kentucky basketball program after last season have now signed pro contracts, with Isaiah Briscoe, Michael Mulder, and Dominique Hawkins still looking for a team. But as for Hawkins, he told ESPN 680 in Louisville he isn't limiting his options to add a professional contract to just basketball.
I have done one football workout last weekend. I went to the Philadelphia Eagles. Did that. I haven't done anything with football since high school, and they told me that all my technique and stuff is rusty, which is going to be happening because I haven't done any football stuff, but they said I look really good.
Hawkins was a standout running back and wide receiver in high school at Madison Central. He received interest from NFL teams during the NBA Combine earlier this summer. The Dallas Cowboys watched him work out for the Lakers back in May. According to the Lexington Herald Leader, former Kentucky basketball big man Josh Harrelson has been awarded $1 million in his civil case against Leon Smith, the former director of basketball operations at Kentucky. Harrelson alleged that Smith defrauded and stole from him while Smith was his financial advisor. Back in May, Smith's legacy athlete management company was charged with conning athletes out of over $1.2 million with a variety of methods, some of which included forging signatures and receiving payroll checks issued to his clients. One of those checks was a $40,000 royalty check from the NBA Players Association that was supposed to go to Harrelson. Finally, in sports, with its 2017 opener just 2 weeks away, the Round County boys soccer team continues to prepare. Coach Max Hammonds thinks this year's Vikings have a lot of potential.
They're going to be
probably one of our more skilled soccer teams we've had as far as technical ability goes. So, you know, if they can put that together, it's going to be really, really good. You know, they're pretty good at passing. They're getting better. You know, I think they're going to be able to control the games by having the ball a lot this year. So it's a good thing going forward.
The Round Boys soccer team kicks off its new season on August the 15th at home against Bourbon County. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Tickets are now available for Morehead State fall sports, including football, soccer, and volleyball. Home games begin August 13th for soccer and August 25th for volleyball. Football begins their season by hosting Kentucky Christian at 6 p.m. on Thursday, August 31st. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed higher the first trading day of August as the Dow Jones Industrials approached another milestone, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 72.8 at 21,963.92, very close to the 22,000 level. And the blue chip average actually got within 10 points of this milestone level earlier in trading today. And the other average is not quite as strong, with the S&P 500 up 6.05 at 2476.35 and the NASDAQ Composite up 14.81 at 6362.94. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 17 to 11 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Earnings season is well underway, with most companies topping expectations. 72% of the S&P 500 companies that had reported as of this morning had beaten bottom-line profit estimates, while 69% had beaten on revenue estimates, this according to Thomson Reuters. Earnings season continues today in a big way, with tech giant Apple set to report after the close. Athletic apparel firm Under Armour reported better than expected earnings before the opening, but the company's stock fell 8% on weaker than expected guidance for the full year. U.S. personal income for June remained unchanged, below an expected increase of 0.3%. And, of course, later this week, the U.S. Labor Department will release its monthly employment data. This report is often considered the most important economic report of the month. U.S. Treasury yields were lower today as bond prices rose, with the 10-year yield at 2.26%. In the commodities markets, oil was down almost 2% to finish at $49.29 a barrel. Gold was up $1.90 an ounce, finishing at $1,275.30. In Europe, markets rose, with the Stock 600 up 0.625%. In Asia, markets were also higher, with the Nikkei up 0.3%, in Shanghai up 0.6%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Intel and Chevron. The worst performers were Boeing and Caterpillar. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Xerox and Scana, and the worst performers were Under Armour and IDEX Laboratories. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 31 cents at $64.66, Marathon Petroleum up 56 cents at $56.55, AEP up 9 cents at $70.63, AK Steel down 26 cents at $5.39, CSX down 74 cents at $48.60, and Community Trust Bank was up 45 cents, finishing at $43.65. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Turning once again to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows around 64 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and about the same as today, highs in the mid-80s. Tomorrow night, a slight chance of rain, lows in the mid-60s. And on Thursday, partly cloudy, highs around 87. On Friday, we'll see a 100% chance of thunderstorms blowing in. It's currently 85 degrees in Morehead.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Paul Hitchcock, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Chaz Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.